Welcome to Commission Impossible. I am Scott Fish, and with me, as always, is Ryan McDowell. We've become known for our commissioning over the years, got together, started a podcast, help other commissioners out. If you're new to the show, all the episodes are pretty evergreen, which means you can go back and do what many people do and binge them. What we do here is go over league settings, league running, listener questions, bad commissioner stories, interesting ideas people have sent us, sometimes funny or good commissioner stories too. Go over some of our ideas that have now become very popular, and we answer just about every email we can. You can email us at commishpod@gmail.com. Now, on to the show. Ryan, this is one of those episodes. It might be shorter than the rest, but we are going to do something we like to do every once in a while, and it's basically the last thing mentioned in that intro. We're going to go over one of your new leagues, a new league idea you had. You wanted to test it out. We talked about experimental leagues and stuff like that on the last podcast. Yep. Please tell me and the listeners, I literally know nothing about this league. So I'm on pins and needles. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay.
I'm on whatever the other metaphors or colloquialisms or whatever they are, idioms. I'm on whatever that is. The Death Becomes You League, I believe is what you call it. Let's hear it.
That's right. Well, a little bit of it will sound familiar once I get into it. So started this league last off season. So we're just about a year in, and so far the experiment I think is working really well. I guess this kind of goes back to 3 or 4 years ago when Matt Price invited me to join a Vampire League.
Yeah,
I'd never played a Vampire League at that point. And so not only did I join this league, but I also got to be one of the three vampires in the league, along with our buddy Dan Myler. So Dan and I shared a team. We were one of the vampires. And, you know, Scott, I'm sure you have played in vampire leagues before. In fact, I know you have.
Yep.
And to me, it's my favorite form of fantasy football that I have found. I love the concept. Again,
which part do you love the most? Because we talk about this sometimes. Vampire is very much a conglomeration of two different kinds of leagues with a little bit of a twist on it. Which part of the or do you just like vampire leagues, all aspects of it?
Well, I like all aspects, but again, okay. I am coming from the standpoint of I got to be one of the vampires.
Yes.
And I think fun. Most people would agree that's the fun aspect of it. and maybe we should start at the beginning with what a vampire league is. Essentially, those have become kind of common. Is that the one? I kind of get these confused. Was that the Tom Kislingberry idea? Okay. So Tom Kislingberry had this idea. It was probably almost 10 years ago now, 7, 8, 10 years ago. Tweeted it. Matthew Berry picked up on it and retweeted and responded to it. And it kind of became, at least for a little thing, you know, Matthew ran some vampire leagues over at ESPN several years ago.
And
the concept. The concept kind of became a little trendy there for a while. So I was behind that trend, but once I got in, loved it. Basically the idea is, in a normal league, one team will not participate in the draft, kind of build their team through the leftovers, through the waiver wire. Yep. And if that team is able to win games, or when that team is able to win games, they all get to steal a player from the team they just beat. And there's different levels of protection or different qualifiers on who you can steal, depending on the league and things like that. But that's basically what a vampire league is. And like often happens, people, Matt Price, myself, many others, took that good idea, which was originally for a redraft league, and brought it over to Dynasty.
Of course.
So I get in this Dynasty Vampire League with Matt Price, one of my co-hosts on DLF podcast, and fell in love. So that same season, basically middle of the year, maybe 6-8 weeks in, and this is where you're gonna come in, Scott. I came up with a league idea that I called Snipe Active. So basically, I wanted to play in leagues with that involves stealing players from others. I loved that concept. And so I made up the Sniper Active League and started it again mid-season. Scott was in it. Matt and Dan were in it. John Bach is in it. Several of the people that kind of run in, you know, in our circle, I guess. But the idea behind this league was vampire, meaning, well, it at least had vampire aspects. If you beat a, team, you got to steal a player. There was not one vampire, though. Everybody was a vampire. Anytime you won, you got to steal. It was also a little bit of a guillotine league because if you were the lowest scoring team, you were eliminated. And then the other aspect, we had both a weekly draft to fit your roster, and we had a weekly call out. You could choose your opponent for the week, at least if you got the chance to call out before you got called out. So that was Sniper Active, and that's been going 3 or 4 years now. And really, like I just said, I know. Yeah, it really does. But since I came up with that idea, which was for a redraft league, I've been trying to think what would that look like in Dynasty? And so I finally came up with it. Here's Death Becomes You, Scott. Death Becomes You, a 3-copy, 36 team league.
Ooh, gotta love the multi-copy.
That's a Scott. That's a Scott thing. So one conference or one division, I guess I should say, is a typical vampire league. I mean, there's one vampire out of the 12 teams. That vampire can steal if he beats anybody. Actually, the vampires can steal from anybody. No other teams in that division can steal. So if you're in the vampire league or vampire division, you're only losing a player if you lose to the vampire in your division. Okay, so that's one. The second division is a sniper active division. There's no vampire in that one because everybody can steal from everybody else. So if you're one of those 12 teams, play somebody else within your division. It's got to be within those 12, and you beat them. You're stealing a player in Dynasty. Jeez. And I mean, we had Joe Burrow stolen. We had Christian McCaffrey stolen.
Yeah.
Basically all of the big names, were at one point stolen here. So that certainly stings when you're talking about a Dynasty league and you just lost your first round pick or your top player, whatever it be. The third division is actually an idea I picked up from Dan Myler called License to Steal. So there's a vampire in that division as well among the 12 teams. But on top of that, there are three other teams that possess License to Steal. Okay. And it's exactly what you think it is. If one of those teams beats another team, they can steal, but they trade the license for the player. So if you lose, you're losing a player, but you now have possession of the license.
Of the license to steal. Oh, it's kind of like Road Elephant or something, right? Yeah.
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 So that's it. A 36 team league, 3 copies. You can play any team from any division, but the steal rules only apply if you play within the division. So if you've got that license to steal and you're playing a sniper active team, neither one of you are going to be able to steal from each other.
So the vampire only can steal from within its own division.
No. There's two vampires in the league.
Okay. Vampires
can steal from anyone. Right.
And the license to steal is within division. And then the middle one is within division.
Yes.
Oh man. So that sounds wonderful. The scheduling. So that's
Death Becomes You.
The scheduling, is it super random? Do you try to make X amount within division for the schedule?
The scheduling, of course, I described the original redraft Sniper Active League.
Okay. And
was not able to bring all of those aspects to Dynasty. We do not have a weekly draft. We just, of course, have waivers like most Dynasty leagues. But we did bring the call-outs. So that's a big part of this league is you get to call out your opponent every week. We start, and we've talked potential points on here lately. This is, I think this is why I even mentioned this league. So our weekly call out draft order is based on the previous week's potential points.
Okay.
Not points scored, but potential points.
Right.
So the team that had the lowest potential points the previous week gets the first call out.
Right.
And it goes down that order. So, you know, if you're one of the top teams, if you're putting a couple hundred points on a weekly basis, you're probably not getting to choose your opponent. Somebody is calling you out, and right. It's probably going to be another good team.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Wow. I love it. So the site you're not tracking any schedules on the site. There's no like matchups on the site. It's just everybody's putting in lineups weekly, but you're tracking matchups offsite, I assume.
Well, once we have our, we're using Slack and we're using a Google Doc to track those things as far as the call outs and things like that. Once the call out draft is completed, which is typically done on, I would say Wednesday. We were done midday on Wednesday most weeks. Then I'm going into MFL and adjusting the weekly schedule every single week. And we talk about a lot of those.
You still need records and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. So we talk about a lot of those prestige dynasty leagues, those unique or you know, weird, whatever language you want to use there. And a lot of them require
extra commission work.
And this is certainly one of those, you know, upkeep of the Google Doc and changing the schedule every single week. Those are a couple of the extra things that have to be done, but you know, those are still pretty easy and not
how,
too.
How have people been on the callout system? Have they been quick to get? They have to get them in by the end of like Tuesday night, I assume, or something.
We didn't really give a time limit on it early, and I found that people were eager to call out. So I was worried. I was worried early in the season that maybe people would. Some of the managers would want to wait until waivers had run or wait for a week injury report or something like that. But I mean, we start call outs typically Tuesday morning, you know, after that Monday night game. Yep. Tuesday morning is kind of beginning of league business. If you won and you were steal eligible, you've got to post who you're stealing. Some of those teams that lost had a chance to protect players. So the losers have to post their protections. The winners have to post their steals. They have to, you know, work between themselves to get those trades done on the site. And then we're moving on to call outs.
Yeah. This is definitely not a league where you can simply sit and set your lineup weekly and barely pay attention. You need active owners, which makes it good.
Absolutely. We had a really good group. We have, I think we've lost 3 of the 36 this offseason. And honestly, all 3 just mentioned that didn't necessarily have time for the level of activity, which I appreciate. You know, if it was too much for you, that's totally fine. Glad that they recognize that and, you know, we're willing to move on.
Right. Yeah. This is. I have not this is very interesting. I like this. I wonder how many people listening will not just try this, but try multi-copy, multi-division leagues where the setups, formats are different, but there's also an intermingling because that's very complex, but it sounds incredibly fun.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen leagues that, you know, the different divisions or different conferences maybe had even different starting lineups or different scoring rules. Those certainly get complex. We're all kind of playing by the same rules. The only variation is the steel piece. We also started the league. The way we started the league was by each manager essentially getting to choose which conference one to be in. So that was not randomized. That was a manager choice. Yeah. That was a manager choice as well. And seems like just about everybody got the one they were hoping for. It was really interesting early to see the different strategies play out. You know, some, some people seem to want to be in that sniper active where, you know, they knew they were risking players on a weekly basis, but they also recognize that they got the fun piece of stealing a player without having to take the junky waiver wire team that I have and then a couple others have.
So is there an overall playoffs or winner to the league? Because it does feel like the sniper active one is the one where you can build, if you're good enough, build the strongest team. Does that feel accurate?
That was absolutely accurate. If you look at our regular season results, the winner of the sniper active division was 15-0 in the regular season. By far the highest score in the league, stole multiple players, you know, was able to steal players multiple times.
Yep.
Did not win the league though. We had
really,
not win. Once we got to the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Of course we see that in the playoffs, no matter what type of, you know, no matter how crazy your league might be. But that team, that team did not win, but certainly is set up to be a strong contender. So I think that's, if I was tweaking one thing, that's where we see both the strongest teams and the weakest, honestly, because, you know, you've got one or two teams that lost multiple players, and then you add injuries and other things that we all deal with on top of that. And a couple of those teams look pretty ugly. A couple of those teams look totally stacked.
Yeah. In a dynasty format, I feel like that's going to be really interesting for, like, will that continue? You know what I mean? Like, will the rookie drafts be, or auctions or whatever? I'm not sure what you're doing for the rookie part, but
yeah,
auctions, will they be enough to help those really terrible teams and not help the really good teams, you know, get some parity back?
I don't have an answer. That's part of the experiment. Like I said, through year one, I mean, there was a lot of talk throughout the season of, you know, you got, if we were doing this again, we would need to alter the sniper active piece. It's too easy to build a mega team.
Juggernaut, yeah.
But ultimately that mega team did not win the title. So I didn't have any rooting interest there, but I certainly thought it was interesting that that one of the other, you know, normal teams won.
Normal. So how does, have you figured out yet? I'm assuming you probably have, but maybe you haven't. Maybe you guys decided you'd play it out and then figure out how to do the rookie portion. Have you figured out the rookie portion yet? How the rookie draft work? Because it's dynasty.
Well, I mean, dynasty. It's auction. So we've got a rookie auction. We've got that tiered system. So the team earning the 101 earns this money, and all that money stacks. So if you want to go all in for one player, you can do that. It's not Devy. So there's three copies of Caleb Williams, three copies of Marvin Harrison coming.
Those are fun in auctions. I love having multiple copies in auctions. It's a lot of fun for me. Those picks leagues I just loved that so much. So I got my next question. I have so many questions. I'm sorry, Ryan.
That's why we're here.
Is it an all-encompassing auction between the 36 teams, or like anybody can bid on anyone, or is it, are they separate auctions for each division?
Yeah, all together. So all 36 teams going for the same players, and my kitchen sink leagues are separated. So they're multiple copy, but not really, because you're only going to have one copy of Lamar Jackson in a conference. You're only going to have one copy of each player, and you cannot trade across conferences. This is the opposite of that. This is more like, at least what I remember, Capitalist Pigs being. Separated, but still all together when it comes to those rookie auctions.
Right. Yeah. That's a wonderful, wonderfully fun sounding league. I wonder what elements of it people will take and bring to their own or try out, or maybe they'll just try out a Death Becomes You. Correct. That's the league. Death Becomes You style league. I'm looking forward to potentially getting some emails on that. Speaking of emails, do you have anything else to add on that or on the league? Any more notes?
The only other thing I would add is kind of piggybacking on what you mentioned. I mean, this is a complex league, and certainly if you want to give it a shot, I'm glad to share my rules and anything like that. But if this sounds a little heavy for you, I would suggest just play a vampire league. Just start with a vampire league. Try that out. You know, see if that's for you. And if it is, then then we take that next step into one of these crazy leagues.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Yeah. So if you have any questions, want to see Ryan's rules, stuff like that, you can email us commishpod@gmail.com. We got lots of emails in there. I know we do, guys. Connor, I'm sure he's listening. Connor, I know you have a few in there. We're going to touch on them soon. We'll get to them. We'll get to Tony, Andrew. I'm looking quick. Matthew, Austin. There's a whole bunch of emails. We will try. We used to do like 5-6 emails a show to get through them. So we're going to be behind at times, but we'll get to your emails soon enough. There's one more thing I wanted to mention. Kevin Coleman did an article series, our friend Kevin Coleman, Ryan, for Football Guys.
Yep.
And it was an article series basically on, you know, possible rule changes for dynasty leagues, where to start with dynasty leagues, stuff to do, you know, early in the off season if you're for new dynasty leagues, stuff like that. I thought that three article series on Football Guys was really, really good. So, you know, go to DuBois_22 on Twitter, see if you can find that, or on the Football Guys website and look for Kevin Coleman's articles. Cause those three, I thought were pretty good. But I think that's what we're going to do. I think that's it for today. We're just going to do a nice little 22 minute show. You got like a 40 minute one last time. You even got a fun bonus story after the outro music, for those who stayed and listened to that. We'll be back in a week with some more talk of commissioner stuff. It'll be fun. So that's another episode of Commission Impossible. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on whatever you listen to podcasts on. Tell your friends, tell your league mates, tell your commissioners about our show. Tell everyone, like everyone. You tell your cat. I don't care. Tell everyone to download our show and listen. We're just starting back up. We could use it. Follow me on Twitter @ScottFish24. Follow Ryan on Twitter @RyanMC23. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.